Halloween as a very romantic holiday.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
Thank you for listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM. You can also find us online at kgnu.org. Coming up in this next hour, join us for the Opera Box with their special Halloween episode, followed at 8 o'clock by a classic Monday. Enjoy this Halloween evening.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU Listener member, and by the Boulder Chamber Orchestra, presenting The Americans, celebrating Veterans Day weekend, featuring Cornerstones of American Music from Past to Present. Tickets and information at boulderchamberorchestra.org.
Good evening. This is Chris Moore with KGNU's Opera Box on Halloween. So we have to play some music that is appropriate for that. Ghostly music, grave diggers. It's all in Hamlet. Of course, the great Shakespeare play Hamlet, but also several opera composers, actually. Here's the version by Tomas, and we're going to hear two scenes that are, I think, very evocative of Halloween. We're going to hear the infernal specter scene from the first act, where Hamlet is forced into an encounter with the ghost of his father, who tells him to get revenge on the man who has killed him, who is now married to the king's wife. And then we're going to go to the fifth act and the gravedigger scene as well. Two excerpts in honor of Halloween from Hamlet. This is a performance with Thomas Hampson as Hamlet. Ophelia is sung by June Anderson. Claudius, the King of Denmark, is sung by Samuel Raimi. Antonio Della Maida conducts the London Philharmonic and the Ambrosian Opera Chorus.
Il nous ordonne de lui céder la place.
Ami, obéissez.
Bénisse le ciel si je vous abandonne.
Éloignez-vous, Seigneur.
Assez, je ne crains rien.
Tout le monde a l'immortel.
Éloignez-vous,
je veux, Seigneur.
Écoute,
achevé.
Et tourne ta colère.
Thank you.
Music from the first and a little bit of the second act of Hamlet. Hamlet has to encounter the ghost of his father who has been murdered, and his own mother has married the murderer of his father. This is in honor of Halloween, of course, and we're going to switch now to the gravedigger scene from Act 5 of Hamlet by Tomas. This is a performance with Thomas Hampson, June Anderson, Samuel Ramey, Gregory Kunde, Denise Graves and others, with Antonio de Almeida and the Ambrosian Opera Chorus and the London Philharmonic. Let's listen to a little bit of Act 5, a little more ghastly music for Halloween, this time the gravedigger scene.
Pour le plaisir de voir la vie et l'eau, la vie. glaçons, voilà leur prière. Pour qui donc avez-vous des scellés de pierre? Pour quelqu'un que suivront de regrets superflus? Son nom, on nous l'a dit, je ne m'en souviens plus.
The Gravedigger scene from the opening of Act 5 of Hamlet by Tomas, a performance that we're bringing here in honor of Halloween, and I hope your Halloween is going really well, and Gravedigger music and music of ghosts seems appropriate. Thomas Hampson, June Anderson, Samuel Ramey, Gregory Kunde, Denise Graves, Jean-Philippe Cortis, and others, the Ambrosian Opera Chorus, the London Philharmonic, all under the baton of Antonio de Almeida. We're about halfway through our show, Opera Box, today, and so the second half I want to devote entirely to The Golden Girl of the West by Puccini. This is an opera that's being performed at Opera Colorado in just a few days, and I talked with Greg Carpenter, the general director of Opera Colorado, and he shared a few of his thoughts about this greatest of the Puccini operas, according to Puccini.
Absolutely. One of my favorite operas. I think it's actually my favorite Puccini, even though it's probably his lesser known of the big four or five of his pieces, you know, Butterfly, right, and Bohème and Tosca and all that. But it is definitely right up there in my favorite pieces.
Doesn't Puccini agree with you about that?
Yeah, I agree with Puccini.
Right. Puccini had a special fondness for this particular, even above the other ones.
He really did. You know, he really did. It was it's interesting. After he did so many of the pieces that we see as the iconic Puccini works, Butterfly, Tosca, Bohème, he really struggled to find a subject matter that he really found compelling. Mm-hmm. You know, that time period between 1905 and 1910, he was really challenged to find something that he really found compelling that he wanted to set to music. And strangely enough, he returned to David Belasco, the American playwright, who had written the play Madame Butterfly, of course, that Puccini used for Madama Butterfly. Mm-hmm. And he turned to him to get some inspiration. And, The Golden Girl of the West was a new play that David Belasco had done, you know, set in the California gold rush of 1850s. And Puccini really saw America, particularly, as this really exciting, exotic world, you mm-hmm. might say, that was so different than Europe and Italy. So, you know, he came here to the U.S. Von Schiele was actually premiered at the Metropolitan Opera in 1910 with Arturo Toscanini and, you know, a host of amazing stars that were at the top of their careers at that time period. And I think, you know, by doing it at the Met, and being part of American culture at that time really shows his affinity for this subject matter and the excitement he held for the U.S. and the move west and our sense of history at that time.
I get a sense from this, well, every one of Puccini's operas has a somewhat different musical language, even though it's always very recognizable as Puccini. Mm-hmm. In this case, it almost seems as though he was teaching future generations how to write film scores for Westerns, because it has that quality, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, so few of Puccini's operas have what I would call a formal overture. They're sort of an entr'acte that just, it's a couple of pages of music that gets you into that first moment of singing, that first moment of drama. But, you know, in this particular opera, you've got about two pages of that entrance music, that music that sets the tone for the opera. And it does feel so much like a movie score, a film score, from some of the great sort of like 1930s and 40s films, you know, things that you think Eric Korngold was writing, you know, and some of the great people that were doing film scores back then. But I feel like, I think one of the reasons that we identify Puccini with that feel is because he knew how to select just the right story to create an amazing sense of drama on the stage, and that his music then took that drama and just heightened it to a new level. It made it more real, more passionate, more engaging for an audience, you know, 100 years ago as it does today. And I think that's one of the reasons why Puccini's music resonates in a way with our contemporary audience that maybe Mozart and some of the earlier composers don't necessarily resonate. I also happen to think that a big thing about Puccini that we love is he knows how to create amazing, strong female characters. And while they all have vulnerable moments in the operas that he writes, they are also incredibly strong, independent, intelligent people who are faced with tough situations and make very tough, life-changing decisions in many ways when you think about what Butterfly does and what Tosca does. And, you know, and Mimi is a strong character, even though she's weakened by her physical condition. She still is a very strong, determined character throughout the opera until the very end. And Minnie is that same character in The Golden Girl of the West. She is this, you know, very independent, strong-willed, you might say businesswoman. She's running a tavern, a makeshift tavern in a mining camp. And, you know, she's got all the savvy and the wiles that you sort of need to have to live in that rugged environment. And basically a world where there are only men. you know, she's smart. She definitely has some schooling. She sits and reads to the miners every day from the Bible and gives them lessons. But at the same time, there are moments in this opera where she is incredibly vulnerable. Moments with Dick Johnson, the man she loves, and moments with Jack Rance, the man she hates, and who's incredibly jealous of her love for Jack, and who's trying to, you know, get his share, you might say, of her. So I think that's one of the reasons why we love Puccini so much, is he knows how to set a great story and a great piece of drama, and then take that amazing music we love so much, that swelling, passionate music, and it just makes for a great evening of, dare I say, entertainment.
Thank you. Thank you.
one of the things that we all expect when we go to Puccini is to watch ignominious death. And it appears to us dramatically that that's what's about to happen again, that Dick Johnson is going to get his, because he is, after all, an outlaw, and the law is after him. But it doesn't happen this time. And right. This is...
Spoiler alert.
Yes, that's exactly. And to me, some of the most inspiring music that Puccini ever wrote is at the end of this, which is this music of forgiveness and redemption. And it carries you in a whole other direction from any other Puccini opera I can think of.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. The music that you hear at the very end of the opera is the same music that the sort of ballad singer Jake Wallace sings at the top of the show.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, it's this beautiful sort of almost longing, to a certain degree, mournful tone. It's almost hymn-like to a certain degree, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what's great about this opera, you know, despite the fact that no one dies, is the fact that throughout the opera you have this sense that there's a lot at risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the law is after Dick Johnson, and particularly when you get to the second act, and they do catch up with him at Minnie's cabin, you know, and Minnie makes this bargain with Jack Rance, the sheriff, and she says, I'm going to play you a game of cards. And if I lose, you get Dick Johnson, and you also get me.
Mm-hmm.
I will be yours. I will mm-hmm. give myself up to you. But if I win, you get none of it. It's all
right.
or none.
Right.
It's an all-in or no-one-in, mm-hmm. you might say, situation. Mm-hmm. And I think what's most interesting about that is there's a sense of impending doom and death. The death, you know, they'll probably hang Dick Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain degree, it's the death of her spirit.
Yes, yes.
If she ends up having to succumb to Jack Rance's advances. The advances, by the way, of a married man. And I think that's what makes the second act so incredibly intense. And, of course, she cheats at cards in order to make sure that he is not the winner. that whole card scene... is the stakes are the highest in any opera, I think, mm-hmm. at that moment. And what the very smart decision she makes, to make sure that she both saves her lover and herself. And then at the end of the opera, rushing in time after they have caught him a second time,
mm-hmm.
To save her lover. And what she uses to save him at that point is not deception or cheating, is she appeals to the most human emotion, and that is the sense that she looks at all of the men standing around, all those guys that she spends time in the bar with and that she teaches the Bible to and that she's lent money to and helped in some way, and she just looks at them and she says, you know, look what I've done for you for so long. Look how I've helped you through a family issue, or I've lent you money so that you could send it back to home to your families. I've helped you through this situation and that, through sickness and all this, and I've taught you. I've been a mother figure, a sister figure, a confidant to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to give back. Now it's time to do something for me, to let me enjoy the life that I want to lead. I've helped hopefully soften your life a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time to do something for me. And it is that sense of forgiveness and redemption that they forgive Minnie for wanting to leave them. She's the glue that holds their community together in so many ways. And they forgive Dick Johnson for being an outlaw and stealing so that they can do something good for Minnie,
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
woman that they hold up in such high esteem. And, you know, there's many times along the way of this opera where you think there's going to be a death, and it never happens. And I think that's what's so amazing about it, is the stakes are so high all the time in this opera. And that sort of melts away in this sense of forgiveness and doing something good for somebody else.
The performances, again, are November 5th, 8th, 11th, and 13th at the L.A. Calkins Opera House in Denver. And you can go to operacolorado.org for tickets.
end of La Fanciulla del West, The Golden Girl of the West by Puccini, coming up at Opera Colorado at the L.A. Calkins Opera House. This is KGNU's Opera Box.
Thank you so much, Chris, for this evening's Opera Box here on KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, with translator K229 AC in Nederland, Colorado at 93.7 FM. Very good evening to you. I'm EC with you for this evening's A Classic Monday, along with Michael Dalala. Good evening. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. So good to be here again.
It is. How very fun and fitting that we would be here for a Halloween edition of A Classic Monday. I think through all the years where I've programmed shows around this time, and there's plenty of pop songs, but as we realize, there's some wonderful, mysterious, mystical, devilish, haunted music that can be featured as well.
That's some pretty profound music. You have to remember, Halloween is really the eve of a rather sacred and profound day for some belief systems. So we'll touch on a little of that. Maybe even look into some music to acknowledge Day of the Dead, and we'll see what we come up with.
Terrific. Where did you want to start this evening?
Well, I want to actually start with an art song by Franz Schubert called the Erlkönig. Erlkönig is a mythic character. Every mythology seems to have that entity which will just snatch your children out from the depths of sleep and rob you of your child. And the Erlkönig is that character. And this song is really fascinating because the solo baritone actually sings three different characters in the piece. The narrator, the father, and the poor scared child. So let's start with Schubert's Erlkönig.
Sind an dem Strand, meine Mutter hat manch Glück.